Good morning, Wake Up HCC, and this is Cris Oviedo and
Brendan Byrne here,
and we have a couple of really, really interesting people, kind of like our local heroes. I'm going to call this Local Hero Monday, because we are joined in studio today with two very important partners from our community, I would say, and you guys are kind of looking at each other like, what is this lady talking about? But no, seriously, I mean, Kath Ralston and Craig Ralston, they're both here representing the Ellicott City Volunteer Firemen Association. Welcome this morning. How are you guys?
Good morning.
And, you know, I call you guys local heroes because that's personally how I see everybody who's involved in any type of you know, department, like the fire department, police department. I mean, I really do consider you guys to be local heroes. And, you know, we have the DC worlds and we have Marvels and we have all of that, right? And that's just out there and we see everything that they do and we think, oh my gosh, it's fantastic. And I wish I could help people like that. You guys are doing that every single day. You guys are like literally saving lives. You guys are literally out there, you know, just putting yourselves on the line for all of us. So thank you for that. Like, seriously, thank you for that. You're the Batmans, the Supermans, the Wonder Womans of the world. So
but like with any job, it's just you do the training and then you go out and you do the work.
So. But you have to have, you know, I tried. Okay, I you know, at one point, I considered becoming part of the police department and even the military. When I went for the military, I was ready. They were like, oh, here's your contract. All you have to do is sign, and then you'll be sent off. And I was like, oh, wait, I need to leave my family? Like, what? Right? And so I was like, okay, no, thank you. It was nice meeting you. And I just turned around, and I was like, I can't do this. And then when I tried for the police department, well, there were a couple of reasons why I didn't get in, but one of them was because, you know, as I learned a little more about the sacrifice really that it takes to be a police officer, they were like, you know, you'll probably work many holidays, you're probably are going to be away many important dates and have to miss those dates with your family. And I was like, that's something I couldn't do. So it takes special people, you know, to be able to make those sacrifices and to make the compromise. Yeah. So it's yes, you're right. It takes training, but it also takes heart. So, you know, and talking about that, tell us a little bit about yourselves. First of all, I want to know why you guys share the same last name. I'm sure it's not coincidence. So if you guys want to tell us a little bit about that story and then, you know, how you guys decided to get involved with the Volunteer City, Ellicott City Fire Department.
Well, we're husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And right after 9/11, we still owned our bakery. And we help donate food down to the workers. And
in New York?
In D.C.
In D.C., okay.
The Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. And then Craig noticed the sign out front of Ellicott City saying volunteers want needed. And he came home and he said, I'm going to volunteer. And I said, okay. And but we still own the businesses. So while he was doing his training, I was covering the businesses. And then about 2 years later, we sold everything and I was sitting home going, now what? So, I decided to volunteer also. I volunteered initially as a chaplain and, then, decided to get into the EMS fire side. And then Craig got hired by, Washington, Metropolitan Washington Airport Authority. So he's actually a firefighter down at Dulles Airport.
Mm. Yes. So what inspired you? You know, you went down 9/11, you had a bakery, mm-hmm. you had a life, you had a business, right? Yes. Outside of anything related to the fire department. What happened that day? You know, what happened after 9/11? When you were taking the donations that inspired you to become part of you know, the fire department?
Well, when we were had the bagel shop, we were helping people by feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the interim, we opened up a health food store and trying to help people further of eating healthier and keeping them healthy. And then when I saw that they needed volunteers at the fire department, I just looked at it another extension just to help people.
Hmm. That's beautiful. Did you have an understanding of what you were going to be doing when you decided to volunteer, or did you go in just with that idea of continuing to help and not really knowing what you were signing up for? How was that process?
Well, with TV, you see firemen and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, what happens on the TV shows is basically each 15 minutes is a highlight of a career of a regular firefighter, but they put four big calls together for the show. But I had an idea of what really went on. And
okay. And so you decided you were going to sign up to volunteer. How was that process, or what is that process like? Let's say somebody who's watching or listening to the show maybe has had that in their mind, you know, maybe also has had a career, or maybe is just considering or thinking about maybe going into the, you know, into this type of career and wants to get, I guess, their feet wet a little bit. Because if I understand it correctly, by volunteering, that's kind of what you do, is like you get to experience what the life of a firefighter is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, without necessarily really being hired by the department. Is that correct?
Yes, and but the process is that you come down and you fill out an application either in paper form, or now you can do it online at EllicottCityVFA.com or .org, I think it is, and then we set up an interview and we interview you, and it's like getting a job. And then the volunteer association actually votes on whether they're going to accept or deny your application. And
okay. So what are some of the requirements? What are some of the things that you guys are looking at when you're considering somebody to come in as a volunteer?
Basically, we in the interview, we also tell them and explain to them the kind of commitment it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Howard County, to be a firefighter, just fire one, and there are many levels to fire training, is 106 hours of just classroom and physical training. And then you have to come into the station and work with your department to get signed off on throwing ladders or ropes or whatever. EMT is emergency medical technician, is about 25 to 50 hours of commitment just for the education. So we have to explain that to people, because people, high schoolers or college people, or even people, you know, older with jobs, can you make room just for the training?
Yeah.
You know, can you carry 12 to 15 credits in college and then add another 325 to 50 hours for EMS training? So that's also part of that interview, is making people aware of just the basic training commitments and other things that'll be required of them.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just what you're looking for personality-wise. It's trying to match that commitment and ability.
Mm.
And then once you're finished your training, we have basic packets for the fire side and the EMS side, because in class, everything is perfect. You know, the ladders go up perfectly. The person falls down in the middle of the room face up. That isn't what happens out in the street. And so we have to help, you know, take those young recruits, shall we say, or, you know, probationary members, and say, okay, you've got the basic training. Now come out with people that have worked and, you know, have been out there and learn the ropes.
Wow.
You know, put your training to use and how do you get through situations and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
So it is more than, you know, just going and volunteering, and it is a big commitment. And that's the thing people have to understand.
So when you are a volunteer fire person, I want to call fire person because I have firemen and I, you know, and women.
We don't get upset about it.
I got to be politically correct, I guess. You know, after you've completed your education, after you've determined that, yes, you have the time and this is what you want to do after you graduated, maybe from the education part. So you start actually going out on the field. And what are some of the things that people can then expect to do? I mean, do you get full on?
Same thing, firefighters and same. The career and the volunteer education is exactly the same.
Okay.
Except the career. When you get hired, it's 6-7 months of concentrated education.
Okay.
For a volunteer, we go 3 hours a night, say on a Monday, Wednesday, and some Saturdays. So it takes us longer. But the classes are exactly the same because MFRI, or Maryland Fire Rescue Institute, is the teaching body for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So our education is the same. It just takes us longer.
Okay.
And then as you finish your basic levels of training, there are hundreds of classes you can take to continue your education.
Now, you, Craig, before we opened our conversation, you said that there's no guarantee that you will get hired being a volunteer. And I think it's important to make that distinction so that people understand that, yes, you have this commitment, but it does not necessarily, if you're looking for a career, this could help you, but it's not a guarantee that this is going to.
That's correct. But it does give you the flavor of what you're going to be doing, and it makes it a lot easier on you later on. Because you're still going to have to go through the classes again. And if you've already been through it, you're going to do a lot better on them.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm thinking volunteer, you guys are doing the same thing that a fireman's doing. But I'm guessing volunteer usually takes no pay, correct?
Correct.
It's just, you're just giving your time. Why do it as a volunteer? You know, when you could get paid for it. I mean, what do you guys get out of this that, you know, without getting any pay? I mean, why are you inspired? Why are so many people inspired? Because how many people are involved with the volunteer
At Ellicott City, we have 105 volunteers.
So we have 105 people who are donating their time, who are putting themselves out there. You know, what are you, what's inspiring you guys? Because it's, to me, it's just fantastic that you guys are doing all of the work, all of the education, all of the training for free. I mean, because that's basically what it is. It takes, you know, that's one extra layer. We were already talking about superheroes. I mean, talk about, you know, just one more layer up there. So what's inspiring you, and why is important that we have the volunteer center, you know, complementing the work of the firemen?
Well, I had like four thoughts in my mind at the same time. It's the helping of the people. I mean, for me, there was no bigger thing when you're filling out the report that when you arrive, the person was dead. And when you leave them at the hospital, there's a box alive.
Yeah.
And that just gets your heart that you were able to do something like that. And basically, when we go to a call, they call us because they're having something that they can't take care of. You're coming to their house, business, whatever, on the worst day of their life, and you correct the problem. And solving those problems is very satisfying also.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys are there to complement and, like you said, to help, you know, take care of some of the other things that are out there, because there's a lot of emergencies. There's a lot of need in our community. And sometimes those who are in the fire department might not be able to cover. And that's where you guys come in and you guys just fill in those gaps.
Well, and we also, I mean, we add more people out there on the street doing, you know. Yes, in Howard County has, you know, most stations now have career in their stations, but now we, when we can come in and we can volunteer and put an engine in service or put in another ambulance, we've just added to the community. Mm-hmm. We've added that ability. And it takes a community. I mean, that's what we were built on, was community. And keeping that community going is a big thing.
Absolutely. So, you know, speaking of community, you guys have an event coming up this coming Saturday, October the 12th. And before we went on air, you guys were telling me that it takes a community to put this event together. So yes. Why don't you give us a little bit of an idea of what's coming up this coming Saturday?
Well, we have partners that are coming in. The health department will be in, library, Howard County Library System, voter registration. We have a Boy Scout group that comes in. We also have people that volunteer their time to come in and do face painting and, you know, just fun things for the children. But it's also about education. So there'll be a Junior Firefighter Challenge, which is always fun. We get the Boy Scouts or the Boy Scouts against the Girl Scouts trying to outdo each other. We teach the children how to use a fire extinguisher. We have a fire extinguisher prop. We show people, we have an auto extrication. So we cut a car apart and show them what we do, you know, some of the things we can do. We'll have hands-only CPR. So giving people the basics of CPR, it's child-oriented. So it's not a class. You're not going to go out of there with a certificate, but you have the flavor of it. We dress up in gear so the children can see us, because we look kind of strange when we're in our full gear and we have face pieces on and we sound like Darth Vader, you know. So we want the kids, not if they have an emergency, we want them to be able to come to us, mm-hmm. not be afraid of us.
Right.
So that's a big thing. So, and then we also have a station where the kids get to put on gear,
great.
And have fun. Then there'll be, OEM will be there, and, we have, you know, a bunch of things going on. We'll have car seat check, you know. It's about community, building community. We'll also have the thermostat in the car. Mm-hmm. So it'll show you the temperature outside and the temperature of the car inside. So it's education and showing people.
That's great. And this is happening Saturday, October 12th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Can you guys share the address so that people know where to come?
4150 Montgomery Road. And you can park in our parking lot or the Armory next door. We have permission to use their parking lot.
All right. So you don't want to miss this event. It's from 1 to 4. It's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. I know you guys were putting a lot of information out there and saying that it's educational. And it truly is educational. It's eye-opening. But it's also a lot of fun for the kids. I've been there before with my children, and they've enjoyed it. They were much younger when we did this. But they really do enjoy it. It gives you... you know, many kids dream of being a police officer, a fireman, and, you know, when you bring them and they have this opportunity to really just touch things and look at the truck and look at the gear, like you were saying, and just know that it is attainable, I think that it's inspiring, you know. That's, I think, when many of the dreams solidify and they see that, oh, I can do this, you know, I can reach this. I'm little and I'm already doing it, so I can get there. As you were talking about some of the educational pieces, you talked about car seat checks. You talked about, there was one more thing. You said, you know, breaking the car or
extrication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talked about a couple of things that you guys do. So that brought up two questions for me. One is, when you guys go out, you are called for an emergency. What is your goal? What is your number one priority? What is it that you're trying to do? Are you trying to put out a fire, or are you trying to save lives? Like, what is the main goal when you guys are out there?
Well, it's rescue. It's save the lives. Mm-hmm. It's the number one.
And I wanted to bring that up because I think that, you know, we think firemen are the ones who put out the fire, and we kind of separate, right? And we put in little boxes. Policemen are the ones who control the speed. And you know, we have this little ideas of what each one person does, but we forget that really at the end of it, you guys are all just looking for safety, you know, for everyone.
It's life safety. It's take and fixing the problem that that person's having at that moment. You know, in a safe environment, not only for them, but for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to just make emphasis on that and remind us all that that's really what this career is all about, you know, about life safety, as you call it. And then the other thing is you talked about very practical things like seatbelt, you know, checks. You know, I remember when my kids were little, when they were babies, they're 15 and 12 now. I wasn't sure what I was doing, you know, especially with my second one, I think I felt a little bit more comfortable. But with my first one, I mean, it's a foreign thing. This car seat thing is a very foreign looking thing. They're all very different. Some of them have different attachments and different things, and they do have a manual, but and depending on the car, some cars have the hooks, some others didn't have the hooks at the time. I don't know if that's standard anymore, you know. I mean, it's a complex thing. So, you know, other practical things that you guys do, like the car seat checks and things like that, what are other things that you guys do that people might not think about calling you guys and asking you for assistance with?
Yeah, smoke detectors. I had a brain. My brain went offline.
It's Monday morning. It's okay.
Sorry about that. Smoke detectors. We also will go out if we get a call. Somebody's doing a leaf burn or something, and no, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, kind of stuff, and trying to protect the community again.
So with the smoke detectors, do you guys actually like go to the houses to check them, or do you have classes where people come in and learn how to check them, or like tell us a little bit more about that?
It seems like it's more reactive when there's a house fire. We actually go door to door in that neighborhood, and because it seems like when the houses are built, it's that cycle of their.
I see.
I mean, because most of the houses now that are the bigger houses are, you know, sprinklered now and so forth, but. Still, you know, we'll go out. If you called, we'll can put you in touch with the fire marshal, and they may say, call our station and say, hey, would you put in or can you check on this? You know, we'll do that.
And then the car seat checks. Can people come in at any time, or do you have
offer
classes?
You have to go to the main phone number for Howard County. And set up an appointment.
Okay.
And the number is 410-313-6090.
So if somebody's out there and is not sure, just wants to double check and make sure that their kids are, you know, they're wearing their seats properly.
Correct.
They can make an appointment and you guys can check that for them.
Yes. And the most, we don't have them randomly come in because, you know, we're putting in a car seat, but oops, there the alarms went off and we have to leave you there. So we want to do it when the person's not, you know, on duty, shall we say.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, I know that, you know, keeping that same community spirit, you guys have a couple of other events that are traditions, right? For our community. And I know that they're farther down the road, but it is October, so they are coming. Do you guys mind sharing a little bit about them?
We have a train garden that's coming up, and they actually started this weekend setting it up.
Already. Wow.
And it's their 21st or 22nd year. I can't 21st. Remember. 21st, I believe, year. And every year the display is different. So even if you came last year, come again. The same time, Santa goes out on the street. And Santa visits each of our communities for Ellicott City. Now, we don't go out of what we call our first do, you know, our area. And Santa and Mrs. Claus go to different communities and visit with the children. The children are allowed to come up on the sled and get pictures and, you know, tell Santa their whatever they need to tell Santa.
Yeah.
And we will start that the same weekend, Train Garden. We're also probably going to have an event where Santa will be in the station and the children can come in and get pictures with Santa. All that will get published starting November 1st is where we'll put it online and say, okay, Santa's going to be here. And even if you're not in that community, nobody cares. Just go to that address and everybody just joins. It's Santa.
Absolutely. And Santa loves everybody. Right. For the train garden, so is it put up by you guys, or is it, you know, you guys that are putting up the setup, or is it
they're
other
retired
people?
Firefighters and also community members that have nothing to do with the fire service that just love trains, and they'll come in and have a whole big thing, you know. Yeah. And as I said, it started this weekend. We had
that's amazing because it doesn't open until December, am I right?
Correct. First weekend. December.
Actually, it's the last weekend of November because of how where Christmas falls this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually November 30th and December 1st around that weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. So everything's kind of we're going to hit Thanksgiving. Santa will be out for the turkey trot. Thanksgiving morning, and then that next weekend, Train Garden and Santa start.
That's, you know, that just blew my mind, the fact that they're already starting to work on the setup. It's amazing. So definitely start marking your calendars because it's worth seeing. It's worth coming to. It's a lot of fun. It's fascinating. The little kids are always just fascinated. I am like a little kid. I'm always fascinated. You know, when I come in there and I see all these little towns and the trains, and there's times where I've been like, oh my gosh, they're going to hit, and nope, they go right there. So it's a work of art. It really is. It really, really is.
And all
is.
These events are free.
That's, you know, that's where I was going to, my next question. You just took it out of my mouth. So all of this, you know, these events, as Craig just said, they are free of charge. They are for the community. They are here. You know, to educate us, but I do have to say that it's also to build that sense of community and to just, in times like this where we just need to come together, you know, everybody from all different parts of the world and, you know, people from you guys, from careers like yours, where I think there's like kind of like a disconnect right now where we are maybe afraid of calling on you, right? Mm-hmm. Because of whatever reason, whatever might be happening. It's nice to know that you guys are opening your doors and you really are trying to welcome us. Like you said, I love what you said earlier, was like, we want the kids to know that if they are in an emergency, they can call us. And I think that it's important to remember that it's not just the kids who need to be reminded of that. As the adults, we need that reminder as well. You know, that's what you guys are there for. You guys are there for, if you have anything to add, go ahead.
Like with the Santa visits, because it's an actual stop on that we post the address, the actual neighborhoods are now starting parties at that, because we're, you know, we give like a 15 to a half hour window that will be there. And they're actually just having parties, and we're actually creating real neighborhoods where everybody knows each other, and they can call each other now because now they know each other.
That's beautiful. In times that we're all so busy running around, going from A to B to Z, right? It's beautiful that you guys are creating those opportunities for all of us to just come together and become, like you said, neighbors again. So thank you guys for that. I really appreciate it. We only have about a couple more minutes left, and I just want to ask you guys to maybe give out a closing message to everybody who's watching and listening about really anything that you guys feel, you know, the firemen want to put out there for everybody to just know. So if you guys want to take turns, or
it's really just to be safe and be more tolerant, because I see too many people racing around and getting themselves in trouble because they're not paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
So be safe.
And I have never been on scene or in any emergency capacity. Even when I'm out on the street going grocery shopping, because my tags are fire department tags and it says chaplain on it. People are respectful. I'm, you know, always impressed with how respectful people can be.
Mm-hmm. So respect and tolerance.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful message to close this conversation up with. And I can't thank you guys enough again for, you know, for what you're doing, for creating and building a community spirit for putting your time, you know, yourselves out there to protect all of us. I you know, from everybody listening, from everybody watching, just a very, very truthful, honest thank you for thank what you, you do. Thank you. So thanks, everybody, for listening and watching. We will be back on Wednesday with Sarah from the Wellness Center. She's going to bring us the update on what's happening here at HCC. Until then, you have a wonderful Monday. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.